Even though Joey Bart did end up making that opening day roster, the Giants catcher controversy is very much alive as they've just signed former Yankees star Gary Sanchez to a minor league deal. And oh, by the way, Bart didn't even start on opening day.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and on the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, including YouTube, so check us out there and hit that subscribe button if you are watching on YouTube. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And coming up on today's show, as I said, there's a catcher controversy in San Francisco, and it is something for years, a couple of years now, I have been talking about how I just think that the team doesn't have a lot of faith in Joey Bart, and there's more evidence to this, two more things in the last 24 hours, basically, in that Joey Bart was not the starting catcher on opening day. He did make that team, but it was Roberto Perez who got the start behind the plate. And then this morning, Ken Rosenthal, with kind of a Twitter bomb here, announcing that the Giants have agreed to a minor league deal with Gary Sanchez, who, you know, was a breakout sensation with the New York Yankees when he first broke into the league. In his rookie season, he hit, he had a 170 weighted runs created plus. He hit 299, 376 on base, 657 slugging, 20 home runs in 53 games. Only 53 games. And basically, he's fallen off in his career over the last couple of years. But overall, this guy has just hit. And so it is a minor league deal, but language in the reported contract makes it seem like there's a very decent chance that he could end up being in the major leagues with the Giants. And that is because, according to Ken Rosenthal, you know, Sanchez is first going to go to the Giants spring training facility at Papago Park, I'm sure, to kind of get ready. And then he's going to get sent to a minor league affiliate. And there's an opt-out in Sanchez's contract by May 1st. If he's not in the major leagues, if he hasn't been promoted to the majors by May 1st, then he can opt out of this contract. And so note, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to put Sanchez on the major league roster, but it certainly is interesting. And so I'm just going to kind of break down why they're doing this and what's going on with Joey Bart. Like, why do they not seem to have a lot of faith in Joey Bart? If you just kind of take away the pedigree of Joey Bart, which you can't do. Look, he was a second overall pick. He was rated by a lot of publications as a top prospect pretty recently. But if you just look at the body of work, like in the major leagues, it's only 133 games, only 408 major league plate appearances. But it hasn't been great. He's hit 222, 294 on base, 351 slugging. And what really stands out is a 38% strikeout rate. And it's not like, oh, last year it was improved. Last year it was the worst of any time. I mean, he played in 2020. He had six plate appearances in 2021. And then last year, you know, he got sent down in the middle of the year, came back and was kind of good for like a month. And then in September, some people yell at me for not pointing out he had a concussion. I kind of forgot about that. And I also don't think it would be wise to say the reason he struggled after, you know, in the month of September was because he had a concussion. Because what we saw in September was basically a return to what he was doing in April and May. And so it'd be one thing if he was like really good, got a concussion, and then came back and wasn't good. But it was like the exact trends that we saw in the first 2 months of 2022 materialized in the last month of 2022. And so I think it would be foolish to blame his struggles on the concussion. And so Yeah, it just hasn't gone well. And if it, I have seen it maybe before, but there seems to be so much like belief in Joey Bart, despite evidence to the contrary in terms of the performance. And so when you look at, okay, just plain old production, Gary Sanchez has been a good player in his career. And frankly, Joey Bart hasn't really. Gary Sanchez, the batting average is similar. Joey Bart has a .222 career batting average. Gary Sanchez is .225. This will be a good example of why batting average doesn't tell the whole story, because Joey Bart's on base, like I said, .294 in his career. Gary Sanchez, .311. So a substantially better on base percentage for Sanchez compared to Bart. Largely, you know, Bart has a 7.1% walk rate and Gary Sanchez is at 9.8 in his career. How about this? Gary Sanchez has a .467 career slugging. Joey Bart, .351. So we think of Bart and we think of power, the isolated power, maybe even more important than the slugging to indicate power. And for Bart, it's only .130. That's significantly worse than major league average. So despite all the raw power that Joey Bart has, it hasn't translated into games as much as you would like. He's got only 11 career homers in 408 plate appearances. Whereas for Sanchez, it's a .242 isolated power. Like I said with Bart, it's .130, .242 for Sanchez. And so 110 plus points higher for Gary Sanchez, and he's hit 154 home runs in 666 games. So obviously a much longer career so far. I mean, right now for Gary Sanchez, I mean, this is a guy who hit 20 home runs in a season, 33, 18, 34, 10 in the pandemic shortened season, 23 in 2021, and 16 in 2022. So he's kind of like what people hope Bart will be already. The question maybe is defense with Gary Sanchez. And specifically, he kind of has had a reputation, I think, as being a poor blocker. But, you know, on StatCast now, Baseball Savant is the website, and they use, you know, StatCast to come up with these numbers. They've got blocking numbers for catchers. And actually, if you look at last season, Gary Sanchez graded out pretty much across the board better defensively than Joey Bart. And so coming up in just a minute, I want to turn our attention to the defensive side of things, because that's probably the most important thing. I think there's kind of no question that Gary Sanchez is probably a better hitter than Joey Bart. But, and I'm also going to explain why I think this is about Bart and not about the other catchers, but also look at the big picture, because not only is there Bart, but there's Roberto Perez and there's Austin Wins. There's, I'm wanting to say Brett Wisely, but Patrick Bailey, a catcher who's going to go to AA and possibly figure into the major league team as soon as this season, from what I've heard. So we'll get into that in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your event of choice, whether it's the upcoming home opener for the Giants or whatever, shouldn't have to be this stressful. And for me, competing against other buyers, getting hit with last minute fees that weren't included in the original price, it makes the ticket buying experience really unpleasant and something to avoid. But with Game Time, you can get killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. A little bit more about that guarantee. What it means is that you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Forget months of planning in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, as promised, more about this catcher controversy in San Francisco, why I think it's about Joey Bart, and how Gary Sanchez and Joey Bart kind of compare in a vacuum, and how about defensively. So thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Get ready for baseball season with Locked On MLB's Ultimate 6-episode season preview. Our local national experts give in-depth analysis of every team and division in a way that only Locked On can provide. Find all 6 episodes on Locked On MLB on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. I was a part of that. It was a lot of fun talking about the NL West. And I've got a wager, actually, with Millard Thomas from Locked On D-backs that we plan to tweet out Basically, he thinks the D-backs are going to finish ahead of the Giants. I disagree. So check out that conversation and our upcoming wager. But yeah, I mean, there's just no question. Gary Sanchez has historically been a good offensive catcher. But what about defense? That was kind of the big issue with him in New York, was that he had issues like blocking the ball, from what I understand. I believe he's always had like a big arm. So let's just kind of look into some of the numbers. Well, thankfully for us, like I said, StatCast, there's a new metric here, blocks above average, that you can find on baseballsavant.com. It's a StatCast metric. And Gary Sanchez last year, it's not going to sound impressive, but he ranked 45th, but was around average at minus two blocks above average, which translated to zero runs. So this is, it seems as though, according to this metric, blocks aren't like a huge difference maker in terms of runs saved or prevented. But the thing is, Joey Bart rated as the fourth worst blocker in the game, according to this metric, at minus nine blocks above average compared to that minus two for Gary Sanchez. And for Bart, it says that that translated to minus two runs, so costing them two runs with his blocking. Both had a little over 3,000 opportunities to block pitches. Austin Wins was at zero blocks above average, just by the way. And Roberto Perez, he's not going to be on this list because he didn't play much at all last season due to a pretty serious hamstring injury. So I'm comparing Bart to Sanchez, and also looking at Austin Wins simply for the sake of, you know, we saw, I think most of you listening, you probably didn't watch a ton of other teams' catchers. And so you know what Joey Bart looked like. You know what Austin Wins looked like. And Bart did not grade out well in this regard. And so it's just another example where he's got the pedigree, but just the actual, what have the results been? They haven't been good. And so is it wise to like give up on a young player? Not necessarily, but it seems pretty clear that, I mean, look, we'll see how it plays out. Maybe Sanchez never gets called up to that major league team. Bart's going to have his chances here in the next, you know, couple weeks as he is on this roster. He's going to get some starts. He's going to get some at-bats, and he's got a chance to prove it. So maybe this is more of, you've got about a month, Joey, and if you don't show real improvement, then it's maybe, you know, he's got a minor league option. But at a certain point, if there's all these guys you'd rather play than Joey Bart, then what is his future in the organization? So we'll cross that bridge when it comes. But for now, it's just clear that they're concerned and stockpiling on backup plans, basically. So what about pitch framing? That's obviously another important element of catching. In fact, I would say it's the most important defensive element of catching is pitch framing. And that's why, yes, you see the one knee down stance that Joey Bart was pretty uncomfortable with initially. To be fair, he had to learn that. A lot of guys, I don't know. I mean, everybody had to learn it, I guess. And for Bart, I don't know. If you just spend your whole career doing one thing and then they want you to change it, I can understand how that can be overwhelming. But also, all the catchers in the league are doing this now, and none of them probably grew up doing it, where you're on one knee. And the idea is that it makes you in a better position, puts you in a better position to frame, because, and that framing is so important because every single pitch can be framed. And so over the course of a season, like I just said with the blocking, even being one of the worst blockers in the game, they're saying it only translated to negative two runs for Bart. But looking at the best framers, I mean, we're talking 10 to 20 runs from framing, plus or minus. And so in terms of who were the best framers around, I mean, in terms of where did the Giants rank? Well, Joey Bart was right around league average. The league average strike rate on borderline pitches is essentially how this gets calculated, is about 47%. So pitches that are right around the edges, whether it's the sides or the top or the bottom, about 47% of the time on average are called strikes. And it could be just outside of the zone, just inside of the zone, right on the edge. It's called the shadow zone. This is how they make this metric. And so anyway, the league average rate is 47%. And Joey Bart came in, where is he? I'm scrolling through. He was at 47%, and the league average was 47.1. Austin Wins was at 47.7, so a little bit better than Bart. It says that that translated to zero runs. And for Bart, it says it translated to minus one run. So being that 0.1% percentage point below average translated to a run lost. But where was Gary Sanchez? Well, I'm going to search for him now. Gary Sanchez was at 47.2%. So he just a tick, one tick better than average, whereas Bart was one tick below average, according to this metric. And that translated to plus one run. And so far, we're not seeing Bart have an advantage defensively, whether with blocking or with framing. And certainly not with the bat so far either. And we think, you know, you dream on what Joey Bart could be at the plate. And I think it's like Gary Sanchez. You know, I don't see much more than that. As, you know, Gary Sanchez strikes out a lot himself. Career strikeout rate is worse than major league average at 26.9%. But again, for Bart, it's 38%. It is much higher. Anything above 30 and you're pushing it a little bit. So to be 38 is a real concern. And that's a big part of probably the overall concern that the Giants, you know, if they don't believe in him, a lot of it comes down to the swing and miss. And so what about pop time? This is another important element of defense for catchers. And so coming up in just a minute, we'll talk about pop time and who rates better in this last category that we can measure. There's also like intangibles, which I want to discuss as well. But pop time is probably more important than ever this year. It is the time from the moment the ball hits the catcher's glove to the moment the ball arrives at second base, essentially in a steal attempt. From the pop of the glove to the pop of the other glove, it's called pop time. And it's so important because controlling the running game seems like it's going to be more important than ever this year with the new rules. So we'll get into where these guys rank in this key category in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your chance at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, here we go. We're going to discuss this last key metric and then also talk about how catching is about more than just numbers. There's also intangibles that are really important at this position. And I've got some insight on that as well. But for pop time, number one in the game last year was JT Realmuto by a lot at 1.82 seconds on average. And it's not technically, let's see, StatCast defines this metric, or, you know, Baseball Savant defines this metric as the time from the moment the pitch hits the catcher's mitt to the moment the ball reaches the fielder's projected receiving point at the center of the base. Pop time is a combination of exchange time, how quickly the catcher releases the ball measured in seconds, and arm strength, velocity of a throw in miles per hour. Arm strength is measured on max effort throws or the average of the player's 90th percentile performance. So it's like looking at all your throws and the top 10% in terms of velocity is averaging those. So saying your best bolt basically down to second base. So we'll look at the combination of arm speed and exchange time for these two players, and possibly Austin Wins as well. So I don't know what the result is going to be. I actually haven't looked at this one yet, but we'll find out together. But again, this is one where I want to emphasize the leader is at 1.82 seconds and the last place person is at 2.12 seconds. So we're talking like fractions of a second between the best and the worst. Literal like fractions of 1 second. Not even half a second, right? It's just 0.2. It's like 0.3 seconds is the difference between the worst and the best. And so, you know, tiny margins matter here. So Joey Bart, let's look at him first. Joey Bart rated pretty well at 1.97 seconds. Where is the league average? It looks like league average is right around 2.0 seconds. So 1.97, you might think, oh, well, that's basically average. But that 0.03 seconds does make a difference. And for this is again, this has been the criticism of Sanchez. So let's find out together. Gary Sanchez, 1.93 seconds. What did I say Joey Bart was? 1.87? 1.97. But 1.93 is better. I'm thinking higher is better, but of course lower is better. You want less time. So Gary Sanchez quietly, I mean, that ranked 15th in the league last year among 84 catchers who qualified, and Joey Bart rated 36th. And so all three of these things, framing, blocking, and pop time, Gary Sanchez is coming out ahead, even though that's been the one kind of knock on Gary Sanchez has been his defense. And obviously the bat has just been far and away. I mean, Gary Sanchez has a track record of being one of the better offensive catchers around. So let's look at Austin Wins just for the sake of kind of looking. Let's see. Austin Wins rates 72nd in this category with 2.04 seconds. So if there was a weakness for Wins, it appears that it's kind of his ability to throw down to second. Bart, I mean, it's not too surprising. We can kind of see that he has a big arm. So let's look at arm strength in terms of miles per hour and see where does Bart come in and where does Sanchez come in. So Joey Bart comes in at 82.3 miles an hour. It looks like this is rated accordingly by arm strength, and that rates 33rd in the major leagues last year, 82.4 miles an hour. And Gary Sanchez rated eighth in the league at 86.3. So as good of an arm as Bart may have, Gary Sanchez has a better arm, eighth strongest throwing arm in the major leagues in terms of averaging that top 10% of his throws. So let's talk about exchange time next. The exchange time, obviously lower being better here. For Joey Bart, he rated 68th with 0.77 seconds of exchange time. So this is the time from the moment it hits the glove to the time that he releases the ball. 0.77 seconds. And now let's look for Sanchez. He rated 52nd, 0.75 seconds, a little bit quicker. And so there's literally not one thing I can point to when we've gone through all these different metrics. Gary Sanchez has been better in each and every one. And so lastly, let's talk about the intangibles. And sadly, I mean, Bart, I'm not there in the clubhouse. I cannot tell you like too much detail about this, but what I do know is it has seemed over at times, like in his career, certainly in 2020, Bart looked overwhelmed. There was issues getting on the same page with Johnny Cueto. There was like dropping balls that were catchable, and it just seemed like mentally he was having some trouble. Looked a lot more comfortable in that regard last year, but we did see certain pitchers just seem to prefer throwing to Austin Wins as the year went on. Carlos Rodon was like only throwing to Austin Wins. I believe Logan Webb was often throwing to Austin Wins. Alex Cobb as well. It wasn't every day for these guys except for Rodon. But, you know, just look at yesterday on opening day. Logan Webb threw to Roberto Perez and not Joey Bart. And the comments after the game by Logan Webb were like glowing about throwing to Roberto Perez. And he said he only shook him off once and he's a gold glove catcher and he just called a great game. And you don't always hear that when it's Joey Bart. So I hate to like rag on a guy. I'm not really intending to do that. I'm just kind of telling it like I think it is. And the behavior by the Giants suggests that as well. But all of this could be moot if Joey Bart has a big month of April. But I think now there's a lot of pressure on him to do so with this Gary Sanchez opt-out situation. But for all we know, you know, Sanchez could struggle in the minors and the Giants could be like, hey, look, sorry, but we don't think you're going to have success in the major leagues. If we look at, I mean, I talked about Sanchez has this reputation for being a good offensive catcher, but actually over the last three seasons, he's hit 195 with a 287 on base and 394 slugging. So sorry to drop a bombshell on you like that this late in the show, but Gary Sanchez, like I did mention, he's fallen off in the last few years. And so he's been below average the last few seasons, but you know, 10% walk rate and a strikeout rate just under 30%, probably still better offensively than Joey Bart, I hate to say. But anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Very interesting news day. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen. Now, for your second listen, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Helps me out a lot, so thank you in advance, and thanks to everyone who's done so already. Cannot wait to be with you again on Monday. Barring, you know, weather issues, we'll have two more games to talk about. Hey, Giants could still take a series at this point in time. So we'll be back on Monday breaking down the next two games at New York and getting you ready for games at the Chicago White Sox. So thanks again for listening today. You are now Locked On Giants.